Blog Talk Radio.
Every week, And I'm always excited. I really am excited to that God finds fit to use me. And so I, it just amazes me at times. I could just go before the throne of grace, and I cry out before God because I'm just like, Lord, you still using me, you know, in spite of my murmurs and in spite of my complaints, in spite of me not always getting it right, in spite of my self-trusting and self-righteous and self-decisions, God still uses me. And it humbles me, and it hits hard at the heart because that he still uses me, you know, that his grace is truly sufficient and his mercies are new every day. And so I did a whole study that I was going to bring to you all on tonight. You know, I was going to take you all the way back to Exodus and, you know, and really teach on manna and where that came about and how that came about and what it really meant. And I did a whole little study on it and took notes and everything. And as I was preparing tonight, just in prayer, being still before the Lord, I kept hearing Jonah. I kept hearing Jonah. And God led me in a totally different direction. And this was after I sent out the flyer and spoke of what tonight's topic was going to be about. I'm going a totally different direction. Don't know where God is going to take me in this direction, but I do know that I'm going in a different direction. And I'm going to present that direction to you all on tonight. And I'm praying. I'm in believing and trusting God. I don't have any doubt who God is, and I trust him completely to use me as a vessel. I've submitted myself completely before, to him to use me as he sees fit, and that he will bring forth a rhema word for us on tonight. Amen. A word that we could take, grasp, chew on, dissect, and that we not only be hearers of this word, but that we could also be doers of the word as well. I am submitting myself unto God tonight. And I say that because my heart is heavy a little on tonight. I don't watch the news. I try to stay away from it as much as possible, not to be blind to what's going on in the world, but to guard my heart. To guard my heart, you know, the word of God tells us to guard our heart because out of it flows the issues of life. And we know that there's a bunch of issues that's going on in the world. And those issues, if you continue to breathe and listen and hear all that's going on, it will begin to contaminate you. It will begin to oppress your spirit. You will find yourself starting to feel sad or depressed, are angry or upset. And so you really have to be careful what you give your attention to. Amen. So on tonight, I'm going to walk through this, and I'm going to ask you to have patience with me as I walk through this, but I believe it will be a blessing to someone on tonight. I'm going to be speaking to the Jonah spirit on tonight. I don't know about you all, but I've had moments, I've had times, I've had seasons in my life where I had the Jonah spirit, amen? I've had the Jonah spirit. And as I began to study about Jonah and the things that I know about Jonah, I just thought that God is right when he had me to go into Jonah on tonight. He is so right. And I think it's the perfect time at a time such as this because there are many that God has called. There are many that God has prophesied to, and he's called for a time such as this, and some are being obedient, and there's others who are not being obedient. There's others who are being obedient, but as they're obedient, they still are complaining and murmuring. They still are afraid. They still are in fear. They still have doubt and worry. And so we're going to talk about Jonah tonight. First of all, I'm going to go into the story. I can't read the whole book of Jonah, of course, but I'm going to go into the story to give us a synopsis about Jonah. And then I want to get into the characteristics of Jonah. Why are you doing this, Coach D? You should always ask a question when you go to hear somebody begin to bring forth the word. Ask the question of why. It's okay to ask why. I'm going into Jonah because I, first of all, just been led by the Holy Spirit to dive deep into Jonah. But the other thing is that I believe that Jonah is a lot like many of us. I believe Jonah is a lot like many of us. And when I say many of us, I'm talking to those who answered the call, whatever that call is that God called you to in your life, that answered the call, and we've been working the call. But we have our seasons, we have our moments, we have our times where we feel the anguish of that call. We have times where we feel the burden of that call. But we've answered and said, yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll do. And that's not always just a simplistic yes and it's simple like that. And anybody that's been in ministry, anybody that's had a call on their life, anybody that's been operating in any of the fivefold ministry knows that we say yes to God because we want to be obedient. And yet it's not always easy. It's not always easy. The reality of it is that oftentimes we do murmur and complain. Oftentimes we do cry. Oftentimes we are uncertain. Oftentimes we do doubt. Oftentimes our faith runs low. Hello, somebody. We know that these are the things, that's the reality of it. So without further ado, I'm going to get into Jonah, and I'm just going to, we're going to see what's going on with Jonah. And I'm, again, I believe that God, through this message on tonight, will speak to the Jonah spirit in all of us. Amen. For those of you who may know about Jonah, for those of you who may not know about Jonah, and for those of you that just need a little refresher about Jonah, Jonah was a prophet. He was a prophet. And it says in this story, and I'm going to just read it from a story format, but the book of Jonah, feel free to go to your Bible at some time after tonight's show and get familiar with it. But at this time, another prophet named Jonah was given the word of the Lord to the Israelites. To Jonah, the Lord spoke, saying, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it, for it is wickedness, right? For its wickedness rises up before me. But Jonah did not wish to preach to the people of Nineveh, for they were the enemies of his land, the land of Israel. He wished Nineveh to die in his sins and not to turn to God and live. So Jonah tried to go away from the city where God had sent him. He went down to Joppa and took a ship for Tarshish. But the Lord saw Jonah on the ship, and the Lord sent a great storm upon the sea, so that the ship seemed as though it would go to pieces. The sailors threw overboard everything on the ship, and when they could do no more, every man prayed to his God to save the ship and themselves. Jonah was now lying fast asleep, and the ship's captain came to him and said, what do you mean by sleeping in such a time as this? Awake, rise up, and call upon your God. Perhaps he may hear you and save our lives. But the storm continued to rage around the ship, and they said, there is some man on the ship who has brought upon us this trouble. Let us cast lots and find out who it is. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They said to him all at once, tell us, who are you? From what country do you come? What is your business? To what people do you belong? Why have you brought all this trouble upon us? Then Jonah told them the whole story, how he came from the land of Israel, and that he had fled away from the presence of the Lord. And they said to him, what shall we do to you that the storm may cease? Then said Jonah, take me up and throw me into the sea. Then the storm will cease and the water will be calm. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. But the men were not willing to throw Jonah into the sea. They rowed hard to bring the ship to the land, but they could not. Then they cried unto the Lord and said, we pray thee, O Lord, we pray thee, let us not die for this man's life. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. At last, when they could do nothing else to save themselves, they threw Jonah into the sea. At once the sea ceased, and the waves became still. Then the men on the ship feared the Lord greatly. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made promises to serve him. And the Lord caused a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was alive within the fish for 3 days and three nights. In the fish, Jonah cried to the Lord, and the Lord caused a great fish to throw up Jonah upon the dry land. Notice all through this story that although Jonah was God's servant, he was always thinking about himself. God protected Jonah and saved him, not because he was such a great man, but because he wanted to teach him great lessons. Father, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, use me as you see fit. I die completely to self, that your spirit will rise up on the inside and bring forth a rhema word to your people. Father God, I pray that this word will penetrate every Jonah spirit that is operating, Father God, that we would not only just make sacrifices, but that we will be obedient, willing and obedient, Father, to your will and to your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I read the story, began to read the story of Jonah, we find that Jonah was pretty strong-headed. He was pretty stubborn. Amen. And Jonah was going to do what Jonah wanted to do, and Jonah believed he wasn't going to do what he didn't want to do. And we see that Jonah was called, and God had a specific job for Jonah. He was going to send Jonah to Nineveh. And if you knew anything about Nineveh, it was probably a lot like the world we're in today, a lot like the times today. It was just terrible. And Jonah, being an Israelite, was like, he didn't want, don't send me, Lord. You just, you know, send me anywhere. I'll go wherever you want me to go, but just don't send me there. And how many of us in our lives have said that prayer to God? Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but please don't have me call and talk to such and such. Please don't have me apologize to such and such. Please don't send me there. And so, like Jonah, we have all had Jonah moments in our lives. Some of us have had Jonah seasons. I've experienced some Jonah seasons in my life at different points that I just seen that everything was a murmur and everything was a complaint. And it seemed like everything with him was just murmuring, complaining. So I wanted to get into the characteristics of Jonah because some of us is going to be able to relate to this. Just some of us going to be able to say, man, Lord, you know, oh, my gosh, have I been that terrible? Have I been that awful? Have I been that disobedient? And we're going to find out. And it's amazing to me that as I began to study about Jonah and started to come and start some of the characteristics of Jonah, I couldn't help but think about, some of the other mighty men of God. I couldn't help but think about Peter, you know, and his temperament. And I couldn't help but think about David and so many others that they were worthy to make it into the Bible. They were worthy to have some of them books in the Bible. And so why was it significant? You know, when they're in, I take it that each story in the Bible, each, you know, we talk about Moses and Abraham and Joseph and Jonah and Paul and Peter, and we talk about all this, and I could go on, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother. You know, we got all these different people in the Bible that the Bible felt was worthy to end up in the Bible, to be a part of the Bible, significant part of the Bible. There's a purpose for that. There is a purpose for that. And so Jonah was one of the ones that there is a purpose, that Jonah and his stories in the Bible. Because I believe that God wants us to see that he uses ordinary people just like us. And see, I think I spend most of my my adult life, I won't say even adult life, but most of my committed life, and I believe that I really started committing to the things of God by the time I turned 30. I mean, I gave my life to the Lord at 12, but I started really, really learning God for myself. He was no longer my mom and dad's God, but he became my God, and I started building that real personal, intimate relationship with him, and I started listening to his voice as he said, Denise, do this. Denise, go there. Denise, do this. I started listening. I became aware of my sins. I became aware of my weaknesses. I became aware of my strengths. I became aware of what I was called to do, my purpose. Why am I here? What should I be doing? And even though I was going through a season of awareness, who I was in him, who he was to me, you know, I was learning this God that I was created in his image. I was getting to know that inner me, the God in me, amen, or me and God, or God in me. I was getting to know that. And so going through that stage, we don't always get it right, as I don't always get it right now, but I don't always get it right, but I was starting to learn and understand. And I see that I had moments in my life when I committed to ministry. I began to see there were seasons and moments in my life where I didn't do it right. There was, you know, I just imagine that if God was to tell my story, that my story would be a lot like many of these people in the Bible. My story may sound familiar to Jonah's story. My story could sound familiar to the woman at the well. My story could sound so familiar, and I believe that God needed us to know that he chooses people just, you know, just like us to do his will in the earth, to be the voice in the earth. And so Jonah was one of the people he chose. And as we see with Jonah's character, you know, there was some flaws. There were definite character flaws, and Jonah was a prophet of God. See, so one of the things we got to realize is that God gives us without repentance. When God gives you with something, it's yours. He's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give you something and then take it back. Once he gives you that gift, his gifts are without repentance. That's yours. He gave you that from the foundation of the earth. And that's why I believe that anything and everything we need, he's already given us. He's not going to give us nothing more and nothing less. That he gave us everything that we need to accomplish what he sent us to accomplish on the earth. Amen? And so Jonah is a prophet, and so let's just look at some of his characters. We know the story of Jonah. If you haven't read the whole book, it's really a short book. I mean, a short book in the Bible. It's not really a long book, but it's really a good read. You know, you learn. I feel like it teaches us a lot of things about, obedience and discipline. It teaches us, you know, temperament, just various things. So one of the characteristics of Jonah, this is a good characteristic, he was a man of stern truthfulness. When I seen that it said that he was a man of stern truthfulness, what came to mind? Because, you know, when we think about truth, I think about truth, and I think about honesty, and I think about that. And I'm not sure that that was a big thing with him, but I kind of take it, if I could imagine Jonah in these days and these times, that his truthfulness was a lot like Coach D's truthfulness, because we think it's the truth, it's the truth. And so sometimes we have that spirit of what we believe to be stern truthfulness. It's kind of this thing where maybe very opinionated. Maybe the stern truthfulness is that I'm gonna give you a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell you a thing or two. And I could imagine Jonah's personality being like that. He's going to tell you a thing or two. And in his mind, it's the truth, because he's not going to hold no punches. He's going to just tell it like it is. Amen. And so it says that he was a man of stern truthfulness. You know, he wrote the whole book of Jonah, and his testimony and different things and particulars in the story. He wrote this, and it's amazing that he was very, I would say, truthful even about his own flaws, even about his own personality. I mean, he could have wrote the story. I mean, I guess if you're thinking that he wrote the story and it was probably God inspired, but I mean, he could have wrote the story and he could have made himself look good. He could have wrote the story in a different light where we would have seen him differently, amen? But he was very truthful about his challenges. He was truthful about what he did and what he didn't want to do. He was truthful about his dislike towards Nivea and how he felt about Nivea. You know, he was truthful when God, and you have to read Jonah, but God had sprung up a shade tree to kind of give him shade and to protect him. He got angry about that. He was truthful about him not liking God doing that. And it just amazes to me that God would use a man like this to be his prophet, to be his prophet. And I'm saying this to encourage someone listening in. Someone listening in, I believe, is going through something. You've been going through different things in life. You've not always made the right decisions. I often hear people say, I believe that there's a God. I believe in God, but I know I'm not right. I know I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I know I haven't stopped doing this and I haven't stopped doing that, so I'm not going to be obedient to what God has called me to do. And many know God has been talking to them. He has been placing it on their heart, things that God wants them to do. But because they don't feel like they're right, because they are not ready to totally submit, they feel like they can't move forward. And if that is you, I want you to know on tonight, you need to just say yes. You just say yes to the Lord. And let him do the rest. He's not asking you to do anything but say yes. And once you say yes, then he will begin to work on your character. He will begin to work on your inner man. He will begin to work on you. He will change your heart. But you can't run from him. It's nothing that you could do within your own power to be to change you. It's God that changes the heart of man. Amen. And so if he is calling you, don't be stubborn to not answer. Don't be stubborn to not answer. Jonah answered. And even though Jonah's a stubborn man, he answered. He answered the call that God gave him, but he wasn't always obedient. And that's okay if you're not always obedient. Why I say that? Because just like Jonah, you will learn through life lessons. You will learn through life lessons that you're not obedient. We know Jonah wasn't obedient to go to Nineveh as God had told him to. He ran. And as a result of him running, he had to learn some hard life lessons. Can you imagine sitting in the belly of a fish for 3 days? We know fish in the natural. You know, we just know fish stink, especially in its belly, because you could only imagine that everything that fish ate over a course of time was sitting in the belly. And so he had to learn that lesson. He had to learn that lesson the hard way, just as many of us. Some of us had to learn some hard lessons. What's in the natural now where we could think in this day and time, maybe some lessons that you had to learn because you decided to go against the will of God. Maybe you decided you were going to marry who you wanted to marry and you didn't see God first in trying to make that decision. Or maybe you decided you were going to start a business and you didn't see God first in starting a business. There's so many things in today's world that we can look at in our own lives and say, man, I didn't follow through. I didn't seek God to make this decision, and I made this decision, and it cost me dearly. Maybe some of us never actually spent 3 days in the belly of the whale in the natural, but we felt like we was in the belly of the whale. Amen. Some of us have lost a lot because of our own life choices, our own life lessons. But the good thing about lessons is they're just that. They're lessons. You're supposed to learn from them. And so I believe that Jonah, if he didn't, he should have learned from that lesson. Another characteristic about Jonah was he was a man of imagination. He was a man of imagination. And it says I'm reading this from a commentary, but I want to read it, and then I'll give my commentary on top of the commentary according to the word of God. Amen. He said, Jonah was a man of imagination. He is ever in triumph, exaltation, or despairing depression. Woo! See, because I had to speak on that. Every time we think of men and women of God, we have this humanistic, preconceived idea of what that's supposed to look like. And so when we hear about people being a prophet, prophetess, maybe a bishop, apostle, we have a certain expectation of what we think they should or shouldn't be. And so we have to be careful with that, because what happens is now we're putting our thoughts, our judgment, our ideas on what we think something's supposed to be. And then when it does not reflect what we think is supposed to reflect, then we begin to doubt that it is actually God. Because if you looked at Jonah, and if you happened to be around Jonah during the time, and if you would see some of the things that Jonah said, did, or didn't do, your first thought would be, man, he's a false prophet. He can't be a prophet of God. Listen to him. He's mean. He's arrogant. He's disobedient. He's depressed half of the time. His sorrows is, sorrows that, he complains about every. So we think about all these things that Jonah showed us throughout the chapter of Jonah. It would be hard to believe. And the only reason we believe that only reason we know that he's a prophet of God is because he's in the Word of God. And God told us that Jonah was a prophet of God. You know, that Jonah was a prophet of God, and that God instructed Jonah. So that's how we know that. But if we didn't know, and see, that's why we have to be careful about judging people. That's why we have to be careful about putting our mouths on men and women of God, because we don't know what God is doing in that person's life. And anytime we have concern, doubt, worry, then what we need to do before we put our mouth on them is we need to pray for them. We need to pray before God and lift them up. Even if we have to ask God, even though it may not be none of your business, but it would be better for you to go to God and pray to God and say, Lord, give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Help me to understand. Versus us putting our mouths, because we don't know what God is doing. And Jonah was a perfect example of a prophet of God, a man of God, that had many flaws, but that yet still God was using. Another characteristic of Jonah was, Jonah was a man of narrow religious sympathies. His selfish care for his prophetic reputation, fearing least the preservation of the Ninevites, should stigmatize him as a false prophet. So meaning that he was so self-consumed and self-trusting that he didn't really honor his position. He didn't honor his position. And so, again, another area in Jonah's flaw that would make people to believe or cause people to potentially believe that he was a false prophet, because he was cruel. Jonah had a tendency to be cruel. He was intense, uncharitable. Patriotism made him long for destruction of Nineveh, because he was an Israelite. Some of us get the doctrine, I was born this, and I'm not going to change. We got to be careful. Why am I saying this? I don't know why God led me to speak about Jonah, but I'm starting to know why, because I'm looking at the world that we're in today. I'm looking at the things that's going on in the world. I'm looking at how easy it would be for us to get sucked into what's going on. It would be so much easier for us to get sucked into what's going on and pick a side. You know, become tribal. And we could do that, and we could really miss what God is doing, even in the situation, because we don't understand. And a lot of times we fear what we don't understand. We become afraid. And when we become afraid, then we start speaking from a place of fear. We may not be even speaking from a place of true knowledge or wisdom, but we're now speaking from a place of fear. And fear is you fear what you don't understand. And many of us don't understand what's going on. We don't understand what's going on with COVID. We don't understand what's going on with the towers. We don't understand what's going on with the injustice. You know, we don't understand. And so when we don't understand, we begin to fear. And fear begins to bring about anger. Fear and anger and pain is all connected. And so we're not careful as children of God. We could get ourselves in fear. And before we know it, we're saying things, we're reacting to things that we know that we would not normally respond to in such a way. And it doesn't say that we don't know this going on. It's not to say that we have to ignore the things that's going on. But what it does say is that we can't handle the things that's going on in the same way that the world handles them. Our fight for things of this world that's going on is through prayer. It's through prayer. That's how we fight against the battle of darkness. That's how we fight against the battle of sin, is through prayer. And so we want to be careful that we don't become that we don't operate in the Jonah spirit and become narrow religious sympathies, that we become selfish and self-serving, and we don't, you know, and we begin to claim territories and tribes, and now before we know it, we're no longer believers, we're no longer men and women and children of God, but now I'm just from this tribe. I'm from this gang. I'm from this gang, and I'm with this gang, so I don't like that gang, and that gang wears this color, and this gang wears that color, and because now I'm becoming a part of the gang, and now we're rivals. So I can't even operate in the spirit of love that I say that, because as a believer, saying that I am in the image of God, and we know that God is love, I can't operate in the spirit of love and be a part of the gang, because the gang does not reflect love. The gang has a rival. It has other gangs that it's rivals with, and you can't reflect. You can't be rivals, and you can't go to war and reflect love. So if we're not careful, we become a part of a particular tribe or a particular gang, and then we can't function in the gifts of the spirit that we're supposed to be functioning in as believers. I don't know. I'm all over the place. I'm talking about Jonah, but I heard all the spirit said we got to be careful. We have to be careful. We can't choose a side. There's the side that we have to choose is the side of righteousness. It's the God side. Because there's really only two sides. There's only two sides. And even though the world wants to lead us to believe that there's more than one side, that you got this side here and you got that side over there and then you got this side over there, there's only two sides. There's the side of light and there's the side of dark. The side of light and the side of dark, that's it. Those are the only two sides. Either you're a child of God and you're going to operate in the spirit of God, or you're a child of darkness and you're going to operate in the spirit of darkness. That's the only two sides. There's not a black side There's not a white side. There's not a red side. There's only two sides, darkness or light. And which side are you on? Which side are you projecting into the earth? Are you becoming a part of the problem, or are you becoming a part of the solution? Amen. The other characteristic of Jonah was a man of an irascible temper. Uncorrected, he may be in his early life. Correction always comes sooner or later. That's the truth. I don't care what things you're going through in life. I don't care what character flaw you have, what thing you deal with. It's sooner or later you're going to have to deal with it. Sooner or later you're going to have to face it. Many of us have different things that we're dealing with. You know, Coach D got things that I'm dealing with that I have to face, and I have to deal with them. And I have to be willing to correct them. Amen. So he had a temper. It's saying right here that he had a temper, and his temper probably, I would think, caused him to make certain decisions and do things that cost him. Because we all know that the word of God tells us that God chastens those whom he loves. So we do get in trouble. And sometimes the trouble we get into is not even worth it, when we could have just been obedient, when we could have corrected that thing in the beginning instead of continuing on. How many of us, I know I've been there, where I kept saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I'll get it right. Lord, I'm sorry, I'll get it right. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get it right, and then I still go do it. And then something has to happen. Something has to happen to get my attention. So now I'm forced to correct that thing. I'm forced to deal with that thing. We see it all the time. Don't think when people get exposed that they just got exposed as something they just did. Generally, when people get exposed, God has been dealing with them in certain areas for a long period of time. He had been warning them, you know, don't do that. You better do this. You need to stop doing this. And he had been warning and warning and warning. Because we don't take heed to those warnings, then eventually we get exposed on that thing. Amen. The last characteristic of Jonah was this. And this is the encouraging part, and if you don't get anything else on what I said on tonight, because I have been bouncing here and there and there and here, if you don't get anything else, the one thing I want you to get is this last characteristic of Jonah. It says, with all his sin, Jonah was a servant of the Lord. The root of the matter was in him. We have gleaned in this dark narrative of a better nature within him. Pleasant to believe that his later life, of which we have no record, was calm with a patience and beautiful with a charity unknown before, that at the even time there was light. Here through all times he is seen as the great missionary prophet. So even with all his sin, his disobedience, we're reading it in his word, you know, his disobedience, his murmuring, his complaining, his even having a dislike or a hate towards, Nineveh, all these things that Jonah, all these character flaws, all this stuff, and even with all his sin, he still was a servant of the Lord. Now, if you hear the heart of the message, it's not to say, oh, it's okay that you stay in sin, that it's okay that you sin. What it is to say is that that repentance will bring you back in good standing with God. What it is to say is that whatever your sin was is not going to stop, does not have to stop you from being a servant of the Lord. I don't care if you was in prison. That will not stop you from God calling you to be a servant. I don't care if you was a prostitute. That's not going to stop you from God calling you to be a servant. I don't care if you was on crack cocaine and you did some of the most disgusting things. out there in the world, that is not going to stop God from calling you to be a servant. In other words, that's what Jesus came for. He came because the world was full of sin. And so he came and he gave us a condition, and that condition was if you give your heart to the Lord, if you give your life to Christ, if you're willing to repent, if you're willing to confess with your mouth, if you're willing to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that you are saved, that he can save you, and that he can use you, and your life experiences that you thought, those very things that the enemy tried to make you think was for your worst, meaning you're no good, you're nothing, you're never going to be nothing, you're doing this, you're not doing this, God can never love you, God can never use you, you might as well stay down here with me because you ain't going to be able to be nothing else anywhere else. See, the enemy will play those head games with us, but God wants you to know on today that he sent a solution. He sent a solution for those problems. He sent Jesus, and Jesus came for our sins. He came that we may have life and have life more abundantly. He gave us an out. He came and gave us an out. He gave us a light in dark places. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but through him. He is the answer. And so if we repent and we go before the Lord and repent and ask Jesus to come into our lives, he will come into our lives. And all those things that we thought were so bad that we could never be rid of, he could get rid of those things. And guess what? Even more awesome, when we surrender our lives to Christ, everything we did in our past that we thought was so miserable, that we thought was so horrible, that we thought defined who we were, those same things, God will take and allow us to use those things in the ministry that he has for us. So all that experience that you had back then that seemed like it was the worst, you will take that experience, and now that experience becomes your ministry. See, because now when God gets through cleaning you up and cleansing your heart, and renewing your spirit, creating in you a clean heart and renewing a right spirit within you, guess what? Now you could go back into those places. You could go back into those dark places. Why? Because now you're a light. You are a light, and you could go back into those dark places, and you could minister to these people, and you could speak hope to them, and you could speak life to them, and you could share with them your journey, and you could share with them that the same God that saved you is the same God that will save them. Amen. And that's why he could take our mess and make a message out of it. He could take our mess and make a message and a ministry out of it, that we could be a blessing to others. So don't be deterred by what you've been through in life. That's sometimes that's the best thing, that you went through it. The key thing is you went through it. He didn't kill you in it. So you went through it, and now you can use it. Now you can use it for kingdom purpose, and you can bring others to Christ, and that's what it's really about. That's what it's really about. Nothing that you went through was wasteful. Everything that we've been through in life, from the time we were born into this world and to the time we leave, everything we go through, every experience is valuable. Every experience has a purpose. Everything you went through had a purpose, and it's for a time such as this that you could use that to change lives, amen, that you could use what you've been through to change lives, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you on tonight, Father. I love you so much, and oftentimes, Father God, we don't know where you're taking us. We don't know where we're going. But, Father God, we need to get to a point where we just say yes. Yes to your will and yes to your way, Father. Father God, I thank you for each and every person listening in on tonight. And, Father God, even though the message was simplistic in nature, I pray, Father God, that it bless somebody. Father God, that somebody will leave off this call on tonight with a different perspective, ready to be used by you. Simply by saying, yes, Lord, I repent. I'm willing to be used by you. So, Father, we just thank you. I pray for each person. I pray for the burdens and the worries, Father, that people are facing in this day and time. I pray for those who may have been affected by some of the things that's going on in our world, Father. I pray for them. I pray for those, Father God, who are suffering, through with COVID. If people have been sick, Father, I pray, Lord, for a healing to come through this land, Father. I pray, Lord, that the truth will be revealed, whatever that truth is, Lord, that you will reveal it. Lord, that you will pull back the veil and the cover, that we will begin to see, Father, what is going on in the earth, Lord. Father, I pray that you will give us instructions and that we will listen, that we will have ears to hear what thus said the Lord, that we will be obedient, Lord, that we will not operate in the Jonah spirit. But, Father God, when you say go, that we will go. And, Father God, that we will go and bring forth your word, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you on tonight. I thank you on tonight, Father. And I give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for you are worthy. I pray, Father God, that you will meet everyone's needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, even as you provided the manna in the wilderness, Father, for the people of Israel, that you will also continue to provide the manna for us, Lord, that we will take just enough, that we will not be self-serving, greedy, and selfish, but that we will take enough, Father God, and that there will be more for tomorrow. So, Father God, even as you've taken care of them and as you take care of the sparrows, Father, we trust and believe that you will continue to take care of us, meeting every need. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. I look forward to being here next Thursday. And I'm excited about what God will bring for next Thursday. I think now he's going to let me get back to the message of the manna. And if it be his will, I will bring forth that message, a powerful message. But tonight, out of obedience, I definitely went to Jonah. But I hope that you were blessed by the message. And I look forward to being with you next Thursday. Again, know that you are loved and appreciated. And I will see you next week. Be blessed.